morning. It's nice to see a number of visitors this morning. And as we turn to God's word, we think as we gather here in worship this morning of those of our number who are away, with being the Waitangi weekend, some are travelling. And so our thoughts and prayers are with them for journeying mercies, and also a warm welcome to people who are visiting with us for the very first time this morning. Shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word, we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds, that you will speak to us from your word, for your word is truth. Let it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path this day, we pray. Open our hearts to be receptive to what you would say to us in this morning hour, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A couple of Sundays ago, when I was preaching, some of you will remember that I based my message on Jesus' words as recorded in Matthew chapter 4, the chapter before the one that Brendan read for us this morning. And Jesus gave that simple word to four fishermen, Simon Peter and Andrew, James and John. Follow me. And we considered together what it meant to follow someone or some ideal. If someone asks you to follow a way of thinking or to a particular person, there's got to be a logical reason behind why you would follow them. And we found that reason in Jesus' words as recorded by John, "I am the light of the world." Here we learn that by accepting Jesus Christ as the Son of God and our personal Saviour, we are promised that through His Holy Spirit, we will have daily illumination, guidance and direction, if only we will determine in our heart and mind to follow Him as those first disciples so long ago did. This morning then we turn to Matthew chapter 5, and find that Jesus is saying to the crowds that had gathered to hear him, he'd already said to them earlier, "I am the light of the world." And now he says to them, you people here listening to me, you're the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world. Wow, this is pretty amazing stuff. And you can imagine how these people must have felt. These words of Jesus come to us as recorded in Matthew's Gospel at the beginning of these three chapters, 5, 6 and 7, referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And in this material, which forms the most detailed account of Jesus' words and teachings, we have a summary of what it means to be a follower of Jesus and what impact it requires in terms of our lifestyle and our behaviour. A very real summary of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It was interesting that Jono, in his wonderful little few words about Justin, who's not only so wonderfully precious to Jono and Nancy, but is precious to all of us who have the privilege of being part of the ACPC family. And Jono mentioned the Tuesday evening Bible group, and he didn't know, of course, that I had something about that in my sermon notes this morning. But those of us who are part of the Tuesday evening Bible study group held here in the church on Thursday, Tuesday nights at 7:30, and just a small group, and we're working through material set out by Tim Keller in terms of what it means to be a Christian church within the city or town, and what it means to be an individual Christian, a follower of Christ within an urban setting. Now, down through the years, I've had the privilege of using a lot of different Bible study material, some of which has been excellent. But I have to say, having been introduced to this material written for a contemporary age, by Tim Keller, we're just having a most amazing time as we think through in the wonderfully gifted and yet simple way he brings to us great truths about the church's role in an urban setting, in a city, in a town, and then the individual Christian's role within that. And we've been prayerfully considering what it means for each of us in our daily interactions with others through work and study, whatever that might be. We've been thinking about how it is that people might know in our workplace that we've been with Jesus, that we are Christians, that we are linked with a church. And one of the things that I've found most helpful is people quite often, I think back to my very first job when I left Carey Baptist Grammar School, and you've heard me talk before of the church that I grew up in, very much a sheltered world. Everything revolved around the church. Worship, the church choir, the church youth group, badminton, table tennis, church cricket club, everything revolved around the church. And when I started work on that first day, in the 4.5 years that I worked at the Chalor Company before I went into the Australian military and then later on to Theological College and into the ministry, for the first time I was encountering people who did other things on Sunday. And so it wasn't long before you're there during work and people would say, oh, what do you do over the weekend? Oh, well, on Saturday I play cricket. That was easy to say. And then on Sunday, I'm involved in my local church. Oh, that's interesting. And so bit by bit, it wasn't long before people start to know what you do on Sunday. The challenge is then to be different. And we talked about that, and Celia's smiling because I said that sometimes we work with people whose language can be a bit intemperate. And Celia, who's part of the Tuesday group, said, yeah, that's a not very kind and gracious way of saying it. But we sometimes work amongst colleagues whose behaviour and whose language and attitudes are very different. But it's in a place like that where if we have been with Jesus, if we know the reality of the risen Christ in our daily life, so we can be different. And so this morning, we're going to think afresh that after acknowledging Jesus Christ as our light, our point of direction and reference, Jesus then turns to those listening to him and through his word to us today says, you, each one of you, are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. You're called upon to be different and to make a difference. Matthew, Mark and Luke record Jesus' words in respect to his followers being salt. And in each of these instances, salt is the common image that Jesus used for painting a picture of how his followers would act and interact in the world of which they were a part, within their family, within the local community, the workplace, university, etc., etc. Now, salt, as we know, comes from the earth, and it is not useful in itself, and it's not a meal within itself, except in the great British tradition. Sometimes if you go to cities in the UK, you'll see advertised salt and vinegar chips. What they really mean is that the chips are the main ingredient of the meal and salt and vinegar are a part of it, but it's just a way that they tend to advertise. But no one would invite you to their place, I wouldn't think, to say, come and we'll have a meal of salt together. So salt, as we know, takes its value from its application in respect to and on other things. From the very earliest civilizations, the civilizations knew the value of salt, firstly as a preservative. And we think of the days long past now of when the British Empire was at its height and the Royal Navy ruled the world. It was salt in the barrels of pork that kept the meat from going off. And so salt is used very much as something to preserve. And of course, we use it to add flavour. And so you and I are called to live and to move and to have our being to bring benefit and blessing to others. There's an old hymn that we used to sing in Sunday school when I was a kid. I want my life to tell for Jesus, that everywhere I go, men may his goodness know. I want my life to tell for Jesus. And so that's the challenge of being salt in a world where today we're just struck with apathy. There's a lady that I was speaking to a fortnight ago, and she lives at the hostel next door. She's lived there for nearly as long as me. She works downtown. And so she goes out of the hostel and turns left. She's never turned right, come up here. And when I was talking to her about being part of and being involved in the church here, she said, like so many people, and you've all heard it, oh, I didn't know there was a church here. And it's so easy, isn't it, to walk past. And so it's today we deal with apathy. We're not having people standing at the door barring us from coming into worship. But it's the apathy that we have to deal with. And it's in that kind of world that Jesus challenges us to be salt, to be that added ingredient into a world of need. Jesus warns, as you'll see in that verse there, that if the salt loses its saltiness, it's no good. It's no longer good for anything, in fact, except to be thrown out and trampled upon. So Jesus was very clear that a life that salt, in terms of the ingredient salt, once it wasn't any good, any useful, then there was no purpose for it, no need for it. The challenge is for our lives to be so caught up in our relationship with Christ that we are useful and effective for him. So our challenge this morning is to live and to interact with others that they can see and observe a difference. It is the difference that allows us to walk in the light of God through the power and direction that the Holy Spirit provides. Because it is possible to acknowledge that there is a God, but then really to not allow it to have anything to do with our behaviour. Who here remembers the Goon Show on the radio? Yes, there's one or two here remember. Used to be absolute compulsory listening in days gone by to listen to the Goons. And on one occasion, I remember Nettie Seagoon bought the English Channel for some strange reason. I don't know why you would want to purchase the English Channel. And so his friend Moriarty suggested to him, had he considered insuring it against fire? And Seagoon said, well, he didn't really think that it was necessary, seeing the English Channel was comprised of water. Anyway, Moriarty, being a wicked little man, he spilt some oil onto the thing and set it alight. And of course, it burst into flame. And that was one of the stories. But what I want to share with you this morning is something different. There was 10 episodes made of the Tally Goons for television. The Goon Show was a radio program. And this particular one had the front room of a house, and the camera was looking down on the house. They just had new carpet laid, and so the front door was laying down on the carpet with the hinges and screws and screwdriver. The front door needed to be put back in place after new carpet had been laid. And standing at the front door in full view, because the door was laying on the carpet, were two people. And they pressed the bell. They wanted to come in. And Minnie said to Nettie Seagoon, oh, there's someone at the door. And Nettie said, yes, I'm aware of that. And so the episode went on, that there was no way that they were able to allow those people to come in. First of all, in this short episode, the door had to be put back on its hinges. Then the door had to be opened. Oh, welcome, come in. They had to do the right thing. And so it is possible, as Jesus explains later on in this passage that was read to us this morning, about if your righteousness does not surpass that of the scribes and the Pharisees, then what opportunity, what chance have you to share in the kingdom of God. Here, in this simple, funny little sketch, was two people just wanting to do everything by the book. The visitors were there, but they couldn't let them in because they had to go through the ritual of opening the door. Then they were able to come in. Is that how sometimes we feel about our relationship with Jesus Christ? We don't have any trouble acknowledging that there is a God and that his son Jesus Christ rose, died and rose again for us. But in terms of how it impacts upon the way we live, that is the challenge. And so Jesus says to us again afresh this morning, you are the light of the world. Let your light, your life, your manner of living be clearly seen as different to those around you. Some of you know the coffee club down at the square. And I think I was about the second customer they had about 4 years ago when they opened. And so I go there usually two or three times a week and have a cup of coffee. And for a short period of time, the owner there, Dependa, a lovely Indian gentleman, asked me would I make up some spreadsheets to help with their stock control. And so I did that for them. And then over the last couple of years, he came to me a couple of years ago and said, John, because of what you've done for us, I want you to come and have breakfast every Monday morning. And so I go down and have breakfast with them on every Monday morning. But there's a lady there, and her name is Helen, and she's Korean. She makes unbelievably good coffee. And through getting to know her, and through her again asking me a couple of years ago now, oh, what do you do at the weekend? I told her that if there was cricket on, I would watch cricket here. But then on Sunday, I was involved with the church and I talked to her a little bit about ACPC and the Cantonese and the English congregations. And then she shared with me that she too was a Christian and that her mother was a Christian back in Korea. And so for the last 2 years, we've been sort of praying for each other. And a couple of days ago, she wrote me a letter and she just said that I want to thank God for the fact that he sent you across my path, because you're like my father and my grandfather all rolled into one, and you're just such a special friend, and God has blessed me through you. And I read that and the tears just rolled down my face, and I thought, here's just a simple example of that basic interaction with people, all through saying, yes, well, this is what I do on Sunday. And then it developed from there. And so Helen is one of that group of people that I pray for by name, the same as I know that many of you here in your prayer time and your Bible reading have that group of people that by name you remember in prayer. And so Jesus goes on in this passage and he identifies himself as the complete fulfillment of the Jewish law, the commandments. And our lives then are to live up to the challenges within that law and to exceed them in our attitudes and our behaviour. Verse 20, as I said, Jesus makes very clear that the religious leaders of his day were falling short of what was truly required to be a child of God. You remember in another passage of Scripture, Jesus referred to the scribes and the Pharisees as whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. That's how effective he thought they were. They weren't giving the kind of leadership and moral direction, and yet they'd brought in all these extra laws. Remember that if you had a sheep and it fell into a ditch, because it was on the Sabbath, you couldn't rescue the sheep. It just had to stay there with a broken leg, you know, or a donkey. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan and the church leaders who passed by on the other side, because it was the Sabbath, and to do something, to touch him, that would have been work. And these were the rules that the church leaders of the time had implied. And Jesus is saying here, no, that's not what the gospel, what the good news is about. The good news is about love thy neighbour, do good to those who need to be helped and supported and encouraged. And so Jesus said that the leadership of the time had missed the mark, but it was to those common people came the privilege to be salt and light in a world that needed it. Jesus makes very clear in the reference to light, you're the light of the world, and people don't put a light underneath a bowl, rather they put it on a lampstand so that its effectiveness can be seen. Jesus makes clear, so this morning, that you and I believe, can be feel very honoured and very humbled to be part of this worshipping community that is ACPC. For I believe that day by day, young and old, a part of this fellowship and our lovely comrades and fellow comrades in Jesus Christ of the Cantonese community worshipping downstairs, demonstrate day by day, by the way you live, what it means to be a child of God and a follower of Jesus Christ. Indeed, I'm proud to say that I'm, and humbled to say that I'm part of a community of people that truly demonstrate what it means to be the salt of the earth and light of the world. A couple of weeks ago, we had the Thursday tea and talk. Some of the older Chinese ladies made some dumplings, and we had so many dumplings. We had dumplings for China. And so Stuart took some of the young people and took them down to the police station with some dumplings. It was the first time they'd ever been inside a police station, and they thought it was wonderful. They got their photos taken with a couple of uniformed policemen. But then Stuart went up to the gentleman's club up the road, and he took some dumplings. And he walked up the stairs to the club, and there was a young lady there waiting for her first client. And she said to Stuart, "I haven't eaten for over a day." We don't know the reason why. Maybe she spent her money on alcohol or drugs or cigarettes, but she hadn't eaten for a day. And she wouldn't eat until she got money, until a client came and paid for her services. And there, Stuart brought something of the radiance of his faith in Jesus Christ into that place, and a big, huge, big plate of lovely pork dumplings, which this lady said, she started to eat straight away. She was hungry. Now, I believe in my heart that she will never forget that. What impact that has on her life, we might never know. But she will never forget that one day, a person who claimed to be a Christian and a leader within this church fellowship took the time to come up there, and because there was some dumplings to go around, thought, well, we can share them up there. These are the opportunities, and these are some of the wonderful things that happen in the fellowship that you and I are a part of. And I think that we have so much that we can thank God for. We're going to conclude this morning using an old hymn, again from my Sunday school days. And I thank the music group. I came here and they were playing it this morning and it sounded just so great. It's called "There Is Sunshine in My Soul Today." It was written by Eliza Hewitt, who lived from 1851 till 1920. Eliza Hewitt was well educated, born in Philadelphia, and trained as a school teacher, and taught for a number of years, and was involved in a local church and Sunday school. And then, unfortunately, through a prank that happened at school, she got terrible spinal problems, and she was bedridden for years. And during the period that she was bedridden, she wrote this hymn. "There is sunshine in my soul today. There is sunshine where the peaceful, happy moments roll." She wouldn't have been having much peace for someone that was born in that period of, 1851 to 1920. There weren't the treatments available for someone with spinal issues that there are today. But out of that time of pain and suffering came this hymn, amongst others, that are in over 753 hymn books throughout the world. the university professor that went to her church read the words that she'd written and set them to the music that we're going to use this morning. A few years later, she got a little bit better, improved in her health, was able to get up and take on Sunday school teaching again. And at one stage, it said that she had over 200 pupils in her Sunday school class. So God certainly blessed her. And I believe that through the words of this hymn, as we think about what it means, the chorus says, "There's sunshine, blessed sunshine, where the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul." I pray that for each of us this morning, we can say that with a loud Amen. Thanks, music team.